opportunity. It could save your marriage. And even if you've got a good marriage, it'll make it much, much better. All right, thanks for joining us, and I want to urge you to become a partner. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255, as we prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour. God bless, and be a blessing, and walk with that spouse God gave you.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Grismire. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.
The views
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Governor Jesse Ventura. Jesse Ventura was the governor there of Minnesota there for 4 years to stint, and of course we know him best really because of the Truth television programs that he put out over a couple of years, some of the most revealing television of modern times. I don't know how it ever got on nationwide television, but a tremendous following. We're going to be talking to Governor Ventura about his the recent book. It's called 63 Documents the Government Doesn't Want You to Read. Governor, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
Hi, Stan. Nice to be with you tonight.
Well, why don't you sort of just take us a long way? My wife said I was not to talk. I was just to let you talk because you have so much and so many documents here. And, of course, this is simply a compilation of the information that has been actively suppressed in the United States. You pick up the story, and believe me, this will be a friendly interview. I'm not one of those hostile interviews I've seen so many that you've had, but you always handle yourself so well. Anyway, we appreciate everything you do.
Well, thank you, Stan. Well, this book came about really as piggybacking off my last book, which was American Conspiracies. And, of course, in that book, we took the conspiratorial side of all the conspiracies and showed evidence that mainstream media ignores and things like that, and really in many of the conspiracies virtually showed that there's probably more credible evidence supporting the conspiracy than there is the theory or whatever you want to call it that the government puts forward or the official story. But Dick Russell, my co-writer, and I, of course, we took a lot of grief for it. You get labeled, you're called a conspiracy theorist, and all these nice names they come up with for you, and they tell you you're crazy, and you've lost your credibility and all that. So we figured we'd follow it up with a book that they couldn't denounce from us, that they couldn't question it. And it's, of course, 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read. And we actually started this book 3 to 4 months before the WikiLeaks broke. So when that broke, we were overjoyed because it gave us access to even more information than in more documents. I want to state all the documents in here are in the public sector. We stole nothing. We broke no laws. You just have to know where to find them, and that's where my co-writer Dick Russell comes in so well. He's a phenomenal researcher. He finds the documents, and I, of course, then read and write on them. But we work very well as a team. And the documents are, as I did this book, it was not a pleasing book to do. I tell you unequivocally, I love my country. I've served my country in the military. Everyone in my family has at a time of war. And when you start reading documents like this that are very disturbing of the behavior of your government, it affects you. And it wasn't a pleasant book to do, but I felt I had to do it because I'm now calling our country the United States of Hypocrisy. Because we seem to be talking one thing, but the documents prove we're behaving in a completely different manner, virtually opposite the things we talk about. I mean, we speak about peace, and yet we've been at war for over 30 years of my life. And I'll be 60 this summer, and over half my life we've been at war.
Well, you know, I like to separate our government, the government we love, from the invisible government that runs this country. In other words, there is a visible government, and it's the one that you and I love and respect that stands for freedom. But there is an invisible government there, and this is how I can correlate the two. Otherwise, you get sort of schizophrenic. But there really is an invisible government, and you're going to hear about their documents.
Well, you know, whether you call them visible or invisible, it still falls to the elected officials we have. I blame the Democratic and Republican parties both equally. They've been in control.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Now, we don't like to think about the CIA going all over the world assassinating people. And yet, of course, it's a reality. Governor, would you like to touch on that?
It's a startling document. I mean, it's a CIA document. It tells how to assassinate people. It tells the best methods to use. It tells how to get plausible denial. It tells how to cover it up and the best methods to use. And you kind of look at it and you think, really? Well, who makes the call? Who decides who dies out there in the world and for what purpose? Clearly there's no court. there's no law breaking. I guess it's just like James Bond, you assume. They go out and kill each other and have license to kill. I don't know. But, you know, it's called the CIA Secret Assassination Manual. And assassination really is just a political word for first-degree murder, because it's pre-planned, it's done with a purpose, and it's done to change something or whatever, and that's first-degree murder. And I find it just bizarre that an agency of our country could actually print a manual advocating and first-degree murder in any way, shape, or form.
And yet it's been going on for a long time. We know the Church Committee brought out the fact that the CIA had assassinated a number of world leaders, and we know that the book by John Perkins on an economic hitman, Confessions of Economic Hitman, when he worked for the government, he talked about all the government leaders were assassinated. Chuck Giancano was Sam Giancana's brother. There, in his book, Double Cross, he talks about all the world leaders that his brother, Sam Giancana, had coordinated the murders for the CIA. It really does, it is disturbing to think that we are, and our tax money is used to kill world leaders who won't go along with the agenda of our invisible government.
Yeah, it really is disturbing because, you know, there's no court here, there's no crime committed. It's just simply someone out there has a different philosophy of government, or someone out there, whatever it may be. I mean, I always kind of laugh at the situation where we have a boycott against Cuba, and yet we have open, and most of our debt is with China. They're both communist countries. Why is one the bad and the other good? And then it comes clear why. Because China welcomes the corporations, and of course Fidel Castro, when he took over Cuba, he kicked them all out. And so it clearly shows that it is the corporations that run our country, and that's who we react to, because that shows you right there we have a boycott against Cuba because they won't allow corporations, and we can't get enough of China, who, of course, does allow corporations. Then you throw in Hugo Chavez in Venezuela. The reason we hate him is because naturally he naturalized Venezuela's oil. He felt strong enough that the people there of his country should profit from their natural resource, and he booted out Exxon. You know, that's why our government says the thing that it says all the time about Hugo Chavez. I urge people to watch Oliver Stone's documentary. I think it's entitled South of the Border. It's all about Hugo Chavez. And if you watch this, you may get a completely different feeling about the man than what's... And Oliver shows clearly how he's biased and slandered by our media here against the reality of what the real situation is down there.
Well, let's briefly touch on what really happened at the Gulf of Tonkin, because basically the Gulf of Tonkin incident plunged America into the Vietnam War, and the death of 58,000 American boys, and probably two or three times that number, were crippled and will bear the pain of their wounds until their deaths. And I know you fought in Vietnam.
Well, and let's add probably a million Vietnamese or more.
Sure.
You know, let's not forget the other side. There's always two sides to a war. And how many civilian deaths and everything, the collateral damage and everything that go along with it. And basically, what really irks me isn't truly the document itself, although it upsets me, but I was out teaching at Harvard in 2004 when Robert McNamara came through on his tour with his documentary movie where he admitted it didn't happen. And I found that very disturbing, that now you get an admission that there was false flag operations, that our government has used them before, and yet no one thinks that they would use them today. And when you come to find out and look at history, false flag operations are generally used in almost every war to ignite them and get them going. And it is disturbing because... You always hear the cliches, if you don't study history, you're destined to repeat it. And it seems we're starting to repeat history within a decade now. It's not even within lifetimes.
I saw one YouTube, and I've forgotten who was interviewing you, but this fellow was saying, well, talking about this book, why, I mean, Governor, you know, after all, I mean, you're suggesting that we haven't been told the truth about what happened on 9/11. I mean, you're not actually suggesting that the government lied and that, terrorists didn't take, the hijackers didn't take down the buildings. In your reply, do you remember what you said to him?
No, I you know, you do so many interviews, you truly, they all get mixed together sometimes at times in your brain.
Well, you said, well, they lied to us about Jessica Lintz. They lied to us about Pat Tillman and his death, and they lied to us about what happened at the Gulf of Tonkin. And then you mentioned that you'd been at Harvard when Robert McNamara came through and admitted it was all a lie, and 58,000 Americans died there unnecessarily. And then you said, and you question, you know, the fact that I question what happened on September 11th. They immediately changed the subject. I mean, that's a beautiful, beautiful answer.
Well, you know, it's like when I ran for governor. You know, I'll tell you this. When I ran for governor, I never used one prepared speech ever in my entire campaign. And I'll never forget in the first debate I was in, there were probably eight candidates at the time, and I was seated on the end. They had us alphabetically. And all of them came in with massive amounts of paperwork and books and all this stuff for their spin papers and whatever it was. And I walked in with nothing and sat down on the end. And I remember there was a black woman, civilian, sitting in the crowd in the audience, very close, though, to my side of the table. And she quietly took a legal pen and slid them across the table to me. And I looked at her and smiled, and I slid them back. And she whispered to me, "Don't you think you'll need that?" And I said, "No, ma'am." I said, "Because when you tell the truth, you don't have to have a good memory." And, you know, and she looked at me and smiled. And I bet I got her vote just with that simple answer, because she understood. When you tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you say, because the truth is what it is. And, you know, that's one of the things I had fortunate for me when I ran for governor, is that I ran simply telling the truth, and believe it or not, it worked.
Well, I'd like to ask you to just repeat a story you tell in your previous book about conspiracies, about after you got to be governor. And, of course, one of the first things that happened, I mean, you're here there in the State House there, and basically you get a request to meet with someone from the CIA. And would you tell that story? Because I think it's so apropos of what really is going on in America.
Actually, I told that story in two books ago in Don't Start the Revolution Without Me. It wasn't in the conspiracy book. It was in Don't Start the Revolution Without Me, first book I wrote with Dick Russell. And what it pertained to was, I had just taken office and I received a request to go into, it was before the legislature got in, to go into the bowels of the basement of the Capitol and essentially participate in a CIA, I guess they called it a training exercise, where 23 members of the CIA were waiting for me and subjected me to a variety of questions, but mostly all of them dealing with how did I get elected and questions about my election. And, you know, I cooperated at the time. I didn't really fully understand the power I had as governor. I barely been an office sworn in, but a couple weeks hardly, if even that. And, you know, and I figured it was my duty as a citizen. If the CIA wanted to talk to me, why, of course you talk to them. And so I went down there, but I went as my usual self, and I sat down. They were in a half moon around the room. And the scary thing about them were they were your neighbors. I mean, it ran the gambit from young to old, all colors, women who looked like the fat old lady down the block that sweeps her step off, old gentleman that looked like whatever, you know, the lawnmower repairman up the street. And that's what the scary thing about it was. These guys, these people were not Sean Connery
Bond. But they put you in a chair in the center of the room, and then they surrounded you.
I was in a chair in the half moon in the center, and I said to them, I said, well, before I answer any of your questions, I have a few for you. I said, first off, what are you doing here? I said, your mission statement says you're only to be operational outside the United States. Why are you operational inside? Of which, of course, I didn't receive any type of satisfactory answer. Then I said, I wanted you to go around the room and tell me your name and what you do. Of which, and I'm the governor now, of which maybe half told me their names and maybe half said what they did, but they weren't over cooperative. So I said to them, well, you're not answering my questions. I may not answer some of yours, but go ahead. And they, you know, they were very cordial. They were very proper. They addressed me as governor in a respectful way, which was fine. Well, when it got done and all the questions were about what I did, what we did to get elected, so I went home that night and I called Dick Marcinko. And because I figured Dick would know more, me and Dick laughed and said, well, he said, I think they wanted to see you because they didn't see you coming. Their job is to predict for the government and all that, and obviously you came in under their radar screen. Or was it the opposite? Did they want to know how I got elected so that they could ensure there would never be an election like mine again?
And they really do, ladies and gentlemen. The CIA determines our elections. They're all rigged as far as I'm concerned. We'll be right back.
Well, mine wasn't.
That's why they were there. That's why they were there, is because you got elected. You weren't supposed to get elected. Well, let's get on. Let's talk a little bit about Operation Northwood, because I think that is...
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
It's a Joint Chiefs of Staff plan to come up with some sort of a justification to attack Cuba back in 1962. After the failed Bay of Pigs, the Joint Chiefs of Staff wanted to attack Cuba, and they came up with a whole flock of different plans. One is going to blow up one of our satellites, or blow up our planes, or blow up a boat. It didn't matter what it was, just as long as you could convince the American people that we had to go to war against the wicked Fidel Castro because he had killed a lot of Americans. And yet, of course, he wasn't involved in this at all. It was all to be simply a staged event where we killed a lot of Americans and we could go to war, and the document is right here. You can read it. So let's go fast forward. I mean, remember the 5 seconds of this book, and we'll get up to part four, because I think it's so important that we understand what happened on September 11th. Find me on September 11th, 2001. So let's go to the think tank anticipation of September 11th attack. What's this think tank?
Well,
did they know the attack was coming?
No, it was a think tank put together by Bush Sr., I believe, and it was at the conclusion of the Cold War with Russia. Russia had fallen, and they wanted to put together a think tank of what would it take to make the United States the sole superpower of the world now that the Soviet Empire had crumbled. And so this think tank was a bunch of people, Dick Cheney, Wolfowitz, the whole cast of characters of the Bush administration, basically, was who was all part of it. And they came up with a massive amount of recommendations of what should happen and what the United States needed to do. And, of course, one of the major things was be in control of Middle Eastern oil. Because oil, you know, China was becoming industrialized, India was becoming industrialized, and they, of course, would want to get their hooks on the oil. Anyone that is industrialized today must have oil. And so in order for us to be the power brokers of that oil, we need to have some type of presence in the Middle East. Now, in this article or in this study, they stated in the conclusion that to implement everything that they wanted to do would take many, many years. And then in writing it states the only way it could be speeded up was if a Pearl Harbor type of event were to occur. I think that 9/11 would be classified as a Pearl Harbor type of event.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, and that would speed up what they wanted to, you know, all the things that they felt needed to be implemented in which to make the United States the sole superpower of the world.
And, of course, this is part of a document put forward with the Project for New American Century, and they actually, you will read actually what that document actually says.
Sure.
And let's get into the FBI knowledge of the terrorist training at the flight schools. Basically, of course, we were told why those terrorists were so smart. They outwitted the FBI. They outwitted all of our intelligence agencies. Nobody had any idea this was coming. Condoleezza Rice said, why, who would ever have thought that they would hijack planes and crash them into our buildings? So what's this about the FBI knew that they were training to...
Well, there was an FBI agent, I believe, in Arizona who was, you know, with it enough. He paid attention, and he noticed, really, without being part of it, there were massive amounts of Middle Eastern men taking flight lessons and learning how to fly. And so he thought that was a bit peculiar that this was happening in the U.S. So he have the paperwork is there. He reported this to the FBI headquarters and his superiors, and of course, apparently it was just ignored. Nobody did anything. Nobody followed through on it or anything of that nature. And there's a lot of documents like that. For the U.S. government to say they had no knowledge that 9/11 was on the horizon is a bold-faced lie, because the documents tell and prove otherwise, that if they had been on their toes, they were well warned well ahead of time that there was some strange stuff going on that they probably should have checked into.
But you have a document here about the stand-down order that was in place that morning. In other words, ordinarily, automatically, of course, the fighters would take off without any question if a plane was hijacked or in distress. What's this about a stand-down order? That we've never heard about that.
Well, neither did the 9/11 Commission. They never heard about it either, because this document was withheld from them. They were never allowed to see this. And it's the Pentagon stand-down order by an executive order of the president. Up until...
Hold that thought, please.
Okay.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
What I control, the controlled establishment media, so you're never going to read about them, everything is done to confuse the American people, but you will actually read the stand-down order put in the 1st of June, that henceforth, contrary to everything we'd always done in the past, If there was an emergency, why, of course, the planes could not be scrambled to find out what was happening. If there was a hijacking or somebody was in danger, it could not be scrambled without checking with the Pentagon. And you'd have to get a clearance from the Donald Rumsfeld. And on September 11th, Donald Rumsfeld was nowhere to be found. And that, of course, why there was no planes in the air. That's why, of course, the planes, hijacked planes, were able to crash into the Twin Towers. But then, of course, the next question is, did those planes bring down the Twin Towers? And then there's another document on that, because basically the buildings fell at the speed of gravity. You could not do that because there'd been ordinarily resistance is falling at the speed of gravity. In other words, something happened to the internal structure of those buildings. So each floor collapsed in order. Would you like to cover that? Because that is key to this whole discussion. What really happened that day? We saw the planes, at least the plane hit the South Tower that day, and then we saw the plane hit the North Tower when they had the films available the following day. But did the planes hitting the buildings bring the buildings down?
Well, first of all, if I may, let's back up a little bit to what we talked about on the stand-down order and the catastrophic failure that took place that day from our intelligence community, our air defense, and all that. Here's a key thing. How come nobody got fired or lost their jobs? I will tell you this. If I were the governor, I was the governor of Minnesota. If I would have been the president, and there would have been this type of catastrophic failure to defend our country. I come from the Navy SEALs, where failure is not an option. If you can't get the job done, you're gone. It's that simple. And I would assume that air defense operates the same way. How come no one was fired that day?
How come no one
lost their job? In fact, people were promoted.
This certainly happened with the CIA. You know, in fact, George Bush congratulated them for the fine job they did immediately after the 9/11 attack. And I could never figure out why they did such a good job that day.
Well, and that's precisely it. See, why you don't fire someone? And I can tell you this: had I been the president, heads would have rolled. People would have lost their jobs after 9/11 because you can't, again, failure is not an option. But the reason no one got fired, in my opinion, is because when you start firing people, that's when investigations happen. That's when people start starting to talk, because nobody wants to be scapegoated. Nobody wants to lose their job. But if you keep everything in place, when Monday comes, business as usual, everybody moves on. And there's never really an investigation of anything that would go on. Now, moving forward to what brought the buildings down, I don't believe certainly their explanation is valid at all, the pancake effect, because it defies the laws of physics. If you took a billiard ball and merely dropped it from the pre-fall, from the height of the World Trade Center to the ground, and if you merely stopped it and started it every floor, with no resistance, like what they're telling us happened with this pancake effect, it would take the billiard ball literally a minute and a half to reach the ground. These buildings were down in 10 seconds, and in the case of Building 7, I believe it was about 7 seconds or whatever, even quicker. And so even the government's document, 47, the free fall of Building 7, in their document they used the word free fall, which is an admission. The only way you can have a free fall of a building like that is to, at all time, remove all resistance, all at one time, so that the building can fall the same way as I used to jump out of airplanes, at a free fall speed. And so to say that the floors rammed into each other where a moving object hit one that was not moving defies the laws of physics. And you can't defy the laws of physics. They are what they are. They are science. And that alone, the simplicity of that, and yet the American public completely bought this. And they always refer to Popular Mechanics magazine explained it. Well, how can they explain defying the laws of physics?
Well, because nobody ever wants to challenge it. I will have to admit that after the fall of the buildings, I did not want to believe that our government had brought them down. I realized, because they knew the attack was coming, I did not want to believe it. And it wasn't until I watched Building 7 come down half a dozen times over and over on television, saw the center of the roof collapse first, and then the base of the building, of course, you collapse the center of the building, so the walls fall in, and you suddenly come to the horrible realization that they really killed all those people that day. They knew exactly what they were doing, because if Building 7 was a controlled demolition, then everything was a controlled demolition.
Well, wait a minute now, though. There's a problem that I've discovered since writing this book about lumping it into a controlled demolition. And here's the problem. First of all, when you do a controlled demolition, the smoke never rises any higher than the original heights of the buildings. In 9/11, the smoke went up into the atmosphere. Second, the toasted cars down on the street. How do you explain that even with a controlled demolition? That over 1,000 cars in Manhattan, as far away as the FDR, which is over by the East River and the Trade Towers are by the Hudson, cars were toasted, burnt, exploded into fire. How does a controlled demolition do that?
Well, there's a lot of unanswered questions, and certainly we've never had an independent investigation, that's for sure. Well, maybe if we could get you in as president, why, we would get an independent investigation.
Well, I would tell you, literally, I would say right now, if I did become the president, I would certainly open up 2 investigations again. I would put my Justice Department on the murder of Kennedy and do what the committee recommended they did way back in the 70s. And I would likewise open up 9/11 and do a real investigation. You want to know why you know the 9/11 investigation was a fraud?
Why?
Oh, here's why. You remember Whitewater when they investigated Bill Clinton?
Sure.
for the stuff in Arkansas and all that?
Right.
Well, they spent $100 million, and ultimately in the end they learned that the president cheated on his wife, right? $100 million. Do you know how much they allocated to initially investigate 9/11?
I know. What, 4 or 5 million? It was
$4 million.
Like $4 million.
Now, it went to about 12, but $4 million. You can't even... That shows you right there they were not serious about doing any investigation whatsoever. I spoke to a woman who was on the 9/11, worked on it as a lawyer. She said they were given orders that they were to back nothing unless it was unanimous.
Wow.
Anything put in their report had to be unanimous by all the commissioners. Anything that wasn't unanimous was left out.
And I think anything significant was left out. I mean, that was the thing. They actually interrogated 1,200 people in private sessions. Interviewed 100 in public sessions, and then the other 1,100 testimonies were sealed for 50 years, and I never understood why they wanted to seal them if there wasn't something to conceal.
Exactly. Well, it's no different than what they did with Lee Harvey Oswald and with the Kennedy killing, where they seal everything up and we're not allowed to see it. And that's another sign that something isn't kosher, something isn't right. You know, why? If the truth is and it's everything is what it is, then why would they have to seal up anything? And I always said that about Oswald. If Oswald was who they said he was, this little disgruntled private, who became Marxist-Leninist and killed our president for that purpose, why would anything from a private have to be sealed up because of national security? What would a private know?
Well,
I mean, I was a petty officer third class with a top secret security clearance in the Navy SEALs, and I didn't know that much. I knew a few little things, but at that level, you're not made privy to that much.
Well,
so that tells you it's a fraud right there.
Well, it's not trying to conceal what Lee Harvey Oswald knew. It's trying to conceal what the government knows about Lee Harvey Oswald and what happened that day.
Well, the other thing you can't get, believe it or not, even today, you can't get Oswald's tax return.
Isn't that interesting?
And people might say, well, why would you want his tax return? Well, if on his tax return he was under employment of our government, wouldn't that change the whole thing?
Well, I have no question. He was working for both the FBI and the CIA.
Exactly. And if that showed on his tax return, then they couldn't sell Lee Harvey Oswald, could they?
No, they sure couldn't.
That's why they have to keep his tax return under wraps.
Well, let's get on to the Justice Department's secret plan on the war on terror, because I think that's very, very important. What was the Justice Department's secret plan for the war on terror?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you're picking out, I got a pass on that one. I'd have to reread it again.
All right, then, we'll let you get on to
I'm on to my next book, so this is like review for me in its own way when you do these book tours. And again, I don't want to make excuses, but I will anyway. Cripe, I've done so many interviews in the last 3 days. You know, and to get my brain going this late at night by throwing all the individual documents at me, I got to tell you, I can't. Some of them I would have to review again and reread them before I would want to speak on them, because I don't want to say something that's untrue or something that wouldn't be viable to the subject without knowing it real well.
Okay, well, if you don't want
to... I'd like to talk about there, though.
All right, you go right ahead, then. You pick this up.
How about 57, 58, and 59?
You go right ahead. 57, 58, and 59, that's the
paper
trail
of the CIA's destruction of 92 torture videos. Now, isn't that lovely? Now, I'm a taxpayer, so I paid for these videos, right? So I think I have a right to see them. Now, I'm being sarcastic, I'm going to tell you that, and cynical. But what would be better on a Friday night when you got nothing to do than watch a few torture videos? Don't you think that'd be a good entertaining thing to do on a Friday?
They do not want the American people to really be able to see that, because, you know, pictures worth a thousand words, and the horror of what our government has done, and that George Bush authorized and encouraged. Why some of the Christians in our population might realize that maybe George Bush was not the noble, gentle Christian he's been portrayed to be by our Christian leaders.
Absolutely. I mean, he admitted in his book that he authorized the torture. And by the way, just so your listeners will know, I've been waterboarded. So I know what it is, and it is torture. I was waterboarded at what they call Sears School, Survival, Escape, Resistance, Evasion. It was required by all services back in the old days. If you were going in the combat zone of Vietnam, you had to complete that course. And during the completion of that course, which was a week long, everybody essentially was waterboarded. And it is torture. And I don't know if you know this, but every year Yale University has a list of their top 10 quotes. And a couple years ago, I made it. And it was a quote that I gave on Larry King when this torture issue was up. I said, Larry, I said, you give me Dick Cheney 1 hour in a waterboard, and I'll get him to confess to the Sharon Tate murders.
Well, but like, you're never going to get your hands on Dick Cheney, although I wish you could, but be that as it may. Basically, we have the... do you feel comfortable on the World Bank report on drugs or the State Department take on drug money leaving Afghanistan?
Well, I know it pretty well, but the one I'd rather hit is the RAND report.
You go right ahead, then.
Okay.
We'll stick with the things
last document is the RAND report.
Okay, fine.
Now, this is a professional group of people that our government generally follows, their recommendations. They go to the RAND people quite often. But on terrorism, they decide they're not going to bother with the RAND people, the RAND report. Because the RAND report shows that through all the discovery and research they do, which is what they do there, they do research and figure out the best odds for things, excuse me, only a 7% success rate using the military to combat terrorism. 7%. It's 40% using intelligence and 40% good regular police work. Only 7% success using military. And yet we have put all our eggs into that basket. We go over, invade countries, and occupy them, in which to fight terrorism, in which the RAND report shows there's only a 7% success rate involving the military.
Well, obviously, we're there for a far different reason that we're telling the American people. An awful
lot. It would seem that way, wouldn't it?
An awful lot of American boys have died needlessly today. We have 246,000 people in Afghanistan. That's 90,000 American troops, 110,000 contractors, 46,000 NATO troops, and there are between 50 and 100 members of Al-Qaeda there, according to Leon Panetta. I know Leon, I ran against him for Congress some years ago. And between 50 and 100 members of Al-Qaeda, 246,000 troops. What's wrong with this picture? Well, what are some of the other issues you'd like to bring up from the list?
Well, I'd like to talk a moment to expose Afghanistan.
You go right ahead.
And it's not in the book.
You go right ahead.
About 6 months ago it was, I saw in the paper, and it explained to me completely why we're in Afghanistan. And what I saw in the paper was a report where they said they just discovered, which I found laughable. I guess they want me to believe that a Marine was on patrol and he maybe tripped over this. But they said that they just discovered a vein of lithium that could be worth $1 trillion there. The mineral wealth in Afghanistan apparently is unbelievable. Now, you ask lithium. Why would that be worth $1 trillion? Well, every cell phone, computer, and soon-to-be electric cars will require lithium for their batteries. That tells me, as a Vietnam veteran, why we are in Afghanistan. We're there to get the lithium.
Well, as we often say, reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. And ladies and gentlemen, an awful lot of people have died unnecessarily in this totally unnecessary war. All, in my opinion, I think it's Governor Ventura would agree, it is a totally manipulated war. We're not fighting terrorism over there. They're using the war on terrorism to take the freedom away from the American people. Our guest has been Governor Jesse Ventura. Hang on, we've got just a couple of moments here, but I want to get Governor Ventura's website, and we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Well, Governor, do you have a website, any information you'd like to get out?
Well, I actually do have a website.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. many decades, these great United States have had security in plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
So we have two books by Jesse Ventura. You need to read both of them. They're vitally important. And then, of course, we hope that you'll maybe even want to get a copy of this tape, this CD, this program. You need to hear it a couple of times. And there's so much more in the book that we didn't have time to cover. But this is the time I need to remind our listeners out across America, indeed all across the world, because through the miracle of the Internet, these programs are heard in every nation in the world. If you would in a position to support Radio Liberty, we could certainly use your help. We need to expand our coverage and get more stations, but before we do, we have to be secure in what we have. We have over 60 outlets now every single week, and our programs are heard certainly on 60 outlets every week. And we are reaching people who have no idea what's going on. And many of them, of course, have taken to heart the message because we point out that we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political and ideological battlefield. So if you are in a position to help, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And if you're not in a position to help, then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. We've got a couple of great, DVDs on weather control. What, of course, gets into the geoengineering of the atmosphere. It's entitled, What in the World Are They Spraying? We have another DVD called Weather Modification, Method of Weather Warfare by Bob Fletcher. Just ask for Bob Fletcher's DVD on weather control. We have a four-tape set on weather control, a four-CD set. We have a four-CD set on HAARP. We have a four-CD set on chemtrails. We actually have a book on weather warfare. We have a book on HAARP. And you must understand, they have the ability to modify the weather, to create storms, to create droughts, to create tornadoes, to create hurricanes, to create earthquakes. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want you to know what they're doing. They want you to believe that all the things we're seeing have to do with climate change and, oh, the carbon footprint, and that's why we've got to deindustrialize America and do away with electricity, and we can't have electricity from nuclear because, of course, we might get another Japanese episode. We can't have electricity from burning of oil, coal, or natural gas because that increases the carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. And we can't have electricity from hydroelectric because that actually keeps the little fishies from swimming up and down the rivers. And basically then, of course, well, we'll have to rely upon the wind and sitting on the sun, and we're going to have to deindustrialize America. Ladies and gentlemen, these people know what they're doing. They just don't want you to know. You need to get our material on sustainable development, our syllabus, our DVD, and you need to get my four-tape set. You need to get our material on population control. They really do intend to kill off most of the world's population. The talks are planned population reduction, Nundercolored genocide or simply population control. You need to get a sustainable development syllabus because it has so many of the documents in it, their documents, not our documents, their documents, that tell you that they plan to kill off most of the people in the world. We're dealing with ruthless, tyrannical forces. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Be sure to order Jesse Ventura's 63 document that the government doesn't want you to read. 1-800-544-8927. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And let me suggest to you that most of what you know or you think you know today is illusion. For a case in point, the June 6th issue of Newsmake magazine shows on its cover the tornado, a funnel cloud, and the title on the front of the magazine is Weather Panic. This is the new normal, and we're hopelessly unprepared. Well, basically, of course, the whole theme is, of course, the weather will never go back to normal. It's going to change forever, and it starts out. Joplin, Missouri was prepared. The tornado warning system gave residents 24 minutes notice that a twister was bearing down on them. Doctors and nurses at St. John's Regional Medical Center, who had practiced tornado drills for years, moved fast, getting patients away from the windows, closing blinds, and activating emergency generators. And yet, more than 130 people died in Joplin, including four people at St. John's Hospital, where the tornado sucked up the roof and left the building in ruins, like much of the shattered city. Even those who deny the existence of global climate change are having trouble dismissing the evidence of the last year. In the U.S. alone, nearly 1,000 tornadoes erupt across the heartland, killing more than 500 people and inflicting $9 billion in damage. The Midwest suffered the wettest April in 116 years, forcing the Mississippi to flood thousands of square miles, even as drought plagued Texas. And, of course, Texas suffered the driest month of the century. Worldwide, the litany of weather extremes has reached biblical proportions, and the 2010 heat wave in Russia killed an estimated 15,000 people. Floods in Australia and Pakistan killed 2,000 and left long swaths of each country underwater. A months-long drought in China has devastated millions of acres of farmland, and the temperature keeps rising. 2010 was the hottest year on Earth since weather records began. And ladies and gentlemen, according to Newsweek magazine, it's all related to climate change brought about by the carbon footprint. And it points out that the carbon dioxide level is increased by 40%. 40% increase in the carbon dioxide level in the world, but they don't mention that is actually an increase of 0.028 or 28 thousandths of 1%, 28,000.028 of 1% to 38 thousandths of 1% of the atmosphere, 0.028 of 1% of the atmosphere increase. That's 40% increase, and you know what that means, or do you know what that means? It means there's very minuscule amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. And so the over 32,000 scientists have signed a petition saying man's activity has nothing to do with the increased CO2. In fact, usually, of course, when you get heating up, as you do in global cycles where there's global warming, why, of course, the increased heat actually pulls the CO2 out of the ocean. This is what it always does. And they know that. They just want to hornswoggle the people into believing that we've got to curse a deindustrialized America. Well, our guest this evening is one of my favorite guests, Bob Fletcher. And we're going to be talking about climate change. We're going to be talking about weather modification. They know how to do it. They just don't want you to know. Not one word in this article about the government's ability to create tornadoes and hurricanes and droughts. But it's all there. Bob Fletcher, you pick up the story.
Yes, sir. How are you doing, Stan?
I'm doing just fine. And basically, we just see all this falterol about, of course, the storms, and there are storms, but why doesn't anybody ever mention the government knows how to modify the weather?
Right. And the big problem, of course, when we talk about the potential of weather control and weather modification being used as a weapon against the people, and not just the people of the United States, but the people of the world in general, it's very difficult. So it's almost impossible to be able to specify and say 2 days ago we're positive that this was a function of the United States secret government, or that this storm or these tornadoes, that one or this one, or hurricane, or earthquakes, or tsunamis and things of that sort, that they were generated by one country or another. It's absolutely impossible, and I suppose we're never going to reach a point where we're going to be able to prove that in a specific day-to-day manner. But to my surprise, back in 1994, was when I first became aware of what was going on. I'd had several people contact me. They said, Bob, you got to look into corrupted government and the manner by which they have reached a point to manipulate the weather. And of course, my reaction, like everyone else is you know, that was pretty incredulous. It was amazing, the idea that actually could be taking place to any serious degree, but I knew nothing about it. So I started snooping. I contacted some very high-level friends and contacts, people that I had in government in Washington, D.C., and in ambassadorial levels and what have you, and someone said, Bob, there actually was a treaty, an agreement signed in quite several years back that actually is an agreement between the three or four major nation states, and an agreement that we had the ability to manipulate the weather, that we had to agree that we would not use it as a weapon of war. Well, and of course, right away it dawned on me that if that was true, if we had in fact signed a treaty.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, I guess this is Rob Fletcher, and he would simply, as the investigative reporter, done some wonderful, wonderful things, and he has the talent for putting together videos now. I don't have that talent. I've tried it, and mine are really not very good at all, but his are excellent. And, of course, back in 1996, some of his friends suggested to him, he ought to look into the fact that the government had the ability to manipulate the weather. We don't know what's happening in the Midwest. We don't know whether the tornadoes are an act of God or an act of government. But we do know that there is an agenda. They want to deindustrialize their society. That's Agenda 21. We do know they have the ability to create tornadoes. And we do know that all of their activities dealing with weather modification are classified and secret. And if there is simply nothing to conceal, then why is everything being concealed? So Bob was simply talking about when he first got started looking into this. He thought it was sort of ridiculous. Somebody told him that there was actually a treaty that the United States had signed, the UN treaty, 20 years earlier. Now, this is 1996, that's 1976, where the United States had signed a UN treaty agreeing not to use weather modification or earthquakes in warfare with other nations. And so you tell the story there, Bob, because you were actually able to get that. Certainly they did not necessarily want to give it to you. They've done everything they could to conceal the fact that the treaty exists, because this is an admission. They can actually modify the weather. They can create earthquakes. But they don't want the public to know that. So basically what happened, starting to look for this treaty.
Right, and I was, the first thing I got my hands on really, really shocked me. And the first thing was there was a promotional advertising, actually like a publicity brochure that had been printed by the United Nations. And its title was Basic Facts About the United Nations. And what it was sort of a summary of things that they thought were really wonderful that they had accomplished over a period of maybe 30 or 40 years. And it was a chronological sort of a description. And I looked through this and I found that it says 1977. And it says the Convention on the Prohibition of Military and Other Hostile Use of environmental modification techniques. This convention prohibits the use of techniques that would have widespread, long-lasting, or severe effects through the deliberate manipulation of natural processes to cause such phenomena as earthquakes, tidal waves, and changes in climate and weather patterns. And that was the summary by the United Nations on the 1977 agreement.
Earthquakes, tidal wave, and changing the weather. Ladies and gentlemen, they could do it in 77. But I bet, of course, you're never going to hear that from so many of our paid conservative talk show hosts. Come right ahead.
That's for sure. So when I saw that, I couldn't believe it. This was not a story written by somebody else or anything like that. This was a physical publication by the United Nations. So I thought, holy mackerel, that was just amazing. And of course it set me back, because then it meant that all the people that everybody had called screwballs and nutcases for the previous 20 years were incorrect, obviously. So very strong on, if I'm trying to investigate something, the best way to do it is go directly to the horse's mouth, and as opposed to getting a third or fourth generation of mixed up information. So I thought, well, I'll just contact the United Nations. And I simply did that. I called them directly, called them in New York City, and I said that I'm looking for information relative to the treaty that was signed in 76 or 77. Relative to weather control and the use of as a war, a weapon of war. And of course, when I first contacted them, they said, oh, they were very friendly. And I was talking with a lady, and she said, well, hold on a moment, let me look it up. And she click on her computer, and all she came back and she said, I don't find anything on that at all. I don't have anything on that. And, of course, since I had sitting right in my hand their own printout published by themselves, I simply got back to them right away, and I just said, well, listen, I said, now I'm doing some investigations for a congressional office, which I was at that time. It just was not necessarily on weather control. But I said, I'm doing some inquiries for a congressional office. And I said, it's a good chance that that's on your other computer system, the internal system. Could you just check that for me? And she said, oh, you might be right. And so it took a little bit of time. In about 2 days, she had taken down my phone number and all. In a couple of days, she called me back. And she said, Mr. Fletcher, sure enough, you were right. It was on the other system, and I found it so I can send it to you. And so the United Nations sent directly to myself the complete, the total treaty that had been signed back, I believe was actually in 1976 when it was completed. And it was given, as a matter of fact, it was sent with a letter of certification, and it was sent in French and English to me, both languages, in case I needed to have both. And it was certified and signed off by the legal counsel for the United Nations. And the actual paperwork I had indicates that the General Assembly had put this together on the 10th of December of 1976, and the copied paper that I had gotten had been put together and printed and published in 78. Of course, that was simply a the date of the difference being of when they had put together a final paper, I guess, etc. But nonetheless, the bottom line was simply this. That was that now I knew, and I absolutely knew, that this was a reality, and that the major nations involved was the United States of America. Of course, it was England. It was Russia. Other countries like Canada, and also, of course, China and two or three other nations had signed on board. So with that information, I was able to then expand and go beyond that. I had some other people in Washington do snooping around for me, and got I actually ended up receiving United States Air Force books and that covered studies and what they were, the reality of the basics of what they were doing and how they were doing it and the direction that they were moving, and that being moving away from the old cloud seeding concept and moving into a manner by which they can alter the weather with ultra-high and low-frequency electronic vibrations, and also microwave type of application. It was actually referred to as plasma energy and plasma beams, and that the then of course we heard, and this is over, progressively over actually a period of 5, 6, 8 years, the information kept coming in. I discovered, to my surprise, that the Russians and the United States had worked hand in hand at the Lawrence Livermore Laboratories. That's their top secret, one of several ultra-top-secret laboratories for weapon design, and that the Russians had worked with us on it hand-in-hand in weather modification. Then in that same period of time, they, of course, put together what people have recently found out more about, and that's the what they call the High-Altitude Aurora Research Project. It's called HARP, which are the electronic antennas by the acres and acres of these up in Alaska. Then I discovered that we had a similar location on the down around the equator, which was doing some of the same work. Then I discovered that we were utilizing satellites and electronic impulse transmissions between air-based satellites, aircraft, flying in the air, and then also, of course, using triangulation with ground-based HAARP locations or similar locations to that one up in Alaska.
I think it's important people understand what HAARP does. It heats the stratosphere and the ionosphere, and by so doing, then the air rises, and they can redirect the jet stream. Would that be a fair assessment, Bob, or do we really know?
No, well, that certainly is one major segment or a part of it. And again, if we simply remember what you have to do if you're going to attempt to do this, and of course it takes a tremendous amount of energy to do what we're talking about, and so it has been a progression. Back many years ago, they were just barely scratching the surface, but at this point in time, they have it down pretty good, and they have the ability to do pretty much what they want to do.
And it was Dr. Bernard Eastland who actually designed this originally before it was taken over by the government, who said it could be used for weather modification. I wonder what's so interesting is somebody wrote to me recently and said, HAARP does not modify the weather. HAARP cannot be used to influence the jet stream. HAARP cannot be used, of course, to send messages to submarines. HAARP cannot be used as a vehicle for bringing down missiles. HAARP really can't do anything, and I'm an expert on this. You can trust me. And I'm thinking to myself, well, then why have they put out hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars on a system that doesn't do anything? Of course, I wonder why they would target me with information that doesn't make any sense. Why put out hundreds of millions of dollars on something that doesn't accomplish anything? Go right ahead.
Well, and of course, to add to that,
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. 800-288-8927. Call today.
Working by studying the aurora borealis, it certainly would not be, and you could get that material. But so much of what HAARP is doing is top secret and above. Well, if there's nothing to conceal, then the question would be, why are they concealing it? Is it they don't want the public to know that they can modify the weather simply by heating the ionosphere and stratosphere? Go right ahead, Bob.
And like I say, and that's a good point, because they're having somebody jumping up and down and saying, well, gee, it's not even classified, that in all the areas of NASA's work, for example, the Space Administration, all the rest of that, they're very highest top secret experiments in a whole many multitude types of experiments that they carry out, many of which end up being weapons or are classified in the working in the weapons area. Many of the parts of it will never be classified. It's simplistic stuff, small developments on computer programs or small adjustments in some electronic gear that may have been developed in the middle of doing all of this stuff. But when you get talking about the application of weapons of war in weather manipulation, it's top secret, period. And, end of story. Now, I had received many years ago a whole slew of books, actually, that I say books, what they were actually were an extreme amount of investigative information that had come right out of the Maxwell Air Force Base. And the title on one of them, this was like three large cardboard boxes filled with nothing but print material. It was almost overwhelming. But the typical title on one section was "Weather as a Force Multiplier, so that we can own the weather for the military in the year 2025." All right. Now, this was material that was being worked on, and scientific studies that were being carried out in '95. All right. So they were looking at a 20-year down the road. The truth is, what I've discovered is commonly, if they talk about something that will be utilized or ready for a full military application, if they say it's going to be 20 years down the road, they probably already have manufactured the weapon. That's unfortunately been the situation for 100 years. But I'm literally reading, I don't do this very often, but to read specifically, because that can get to be very boring. But what I want to do is indicate that some of the studies they were carrying out, these are going to be titles of a variety of studies, that was the operational capabilities to enhance friendly forces by the use of weather control, to do storm modification to control a battle space environment, to do space weather to improve communications reliability through a variety of inclement situations, fog and cloud generation, the ability to make fog and cloud and fog removal by applications of electronics, to detect hostile weather activity. Now, that's a program, obviously, speaks for itself, and that's a manner by which they can detect other nations carrying out weather activities against us, and et cetera, et cetera. And I won't go into the rest of it, but that's some of the specific details that were heavily underway secretly in 1995.
Now, that is about 13 years ago. So basically, they're moving in a lot of waters under the bridges, they say. We know that they will have much more control of the weather today.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
We're seeing, a 1,000, you know, tornadoes in a week or so here, and just devastating ones, bigger tornadoes than I've ever seen. I've been around for 82 years, and suddenly we've seen massive flooding. We've seen massive earthquakes this last month, whether it be in Chile, whether it be in Christchurch, whether it be off the coast of Japan. They have the ability to create these. We know they have the ability from their own writings. But the last thing they want is for the public to know, and we don't know. Were they simply an act of God? Were these an act of evil men? If there's nothing to hide, why is everything secret? We'll be back in just a moment with Bob Fletcher. Dr. Stan, of course, I guess, is Bob Fletcher. We're talking about his DVD, Weather Modification as a Weapon. Weather Modification as a Weapon. Go right ahead, Bob.
Well, and additionally, as I got into this, as I had mentioned briefly, that I found out that the Russians and the United States were cooperatively working for several years at the Lawrence Livermore Laboratories on this variety of methods by which to control the weather and turn it into a weapon. And when I spoke, I testified before the United States Senate Intelligence Committee, and this was brought up in the middle of the testimony, and they were asking me, kind of scoffing at the idea, and it simply was a situation where I believe that the senator that had asked me about it thought it was really crazy, and that there was no such thing as weather control, while, in fact, we were carrying it out for 25 years before he had ever been voted into the Senate. So he simply did not know that we were doing it. I don't believe that he was trying to trick me. I don't think he knew what he was talking about relative to the subject, and so therefore, he was just wrong and did not wasn't cleared at maybe a high enough level to get this information. But you do have to remember, I always try to mention this, we normally think that the Senate and the Congress know all about these weapons and know what's going on and know at the secret levels of government's activities, whereas, in fact, a very small number of senators and congressmen are ever cleared for secret and above secret or top secret levels. They simply are not cleared, and they do not know what's going on, which of course also makes it difficult when they're trying to do a legitimate good vote on a bill as to whether we want to throw another $10 billion into some unknown black operation that they don't even know anything about. But that's another subject for a different program.
All right, you hang on there, Bob. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Bob, I guess, is Bob Fletcher. We're talking about his DVD, Weather Modification as a Weapon. Weather Modification as a Weapon. You'll actually see there when Bob testifies before the Senate subcommittee, and one of the senators really tries, I think the senator was trying to make him look a little ridiculous, saying, oh, well, you think the weather can be modified. You will actually see the interchange where suddenly Bob makes his remarks very authoritatively. The senator is really a little embarrassed, gets up and leaves the meeting room. After all, he really doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't understand that these studies have gone on. Bob points out most of the senators do not have top secret clearance. They are not allowed to know the secrets of the government. If they do know the secrets of the government, since they're classified, they can't talk about them, so they can't even bring what they know up at the discussions. Everything is secret. Why? To conceal it from the elected representatives, conceal it from the public. Why do we have to have so many things secret? Because we don't want people to know about the terrible weapons they have and the fact that the government can modify the weapon. And right now, this is so vitally important because they're using the climate change as a justification for the doing away with generation of electricity through contemporary methods as we move to deindustrialize America, and that takes us into Agenda 21. If you don't know Agenda 21, you really need to get it. I was able to get one of the last copies that the United Nations had. They don't publish it anymore, but they were kind enough to send me one of their copies. And said that we have it, Michael Shaw has it at freedomadvocates.org. You need to understand what is really going on today. And, of course, you're never going to get it by reading the controlled media. Now, before we go on, Bob, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get to your website and how they can get your products. We carry them, but you have them as well. How can people get to your website and learn what you are doing?
Well, if you simply go on computer there and type in BobFletcherInvestigations.com, that's BobFletcherInvestigations.com, you'll be connected right into our website. And we do have several DVDs available of exclusively of our own investigations. I don't carry any other people's products. It gets to be a little confusing, so we simply make available some of the very reports that I actually had put together for some Senate and congressional inquiries, as a matter of fact, and I pull no punches. We have everything in black and white. We actually have things like the weapons themselves in one of our reports. That shows you a whole multitude of microwave weapons and what have you that are usually secretive or classified secret. You'll be able to actually see them experimented on, see the operations, and find the paperwork and whatever on all of it. So it's our location on the computer is BobFletcherInvestigations.com.
And I will vouch for the authenticity of Bob's material. It's excellent, and you need to get it. Now, go right ahead.
Well,
now.
You know, some of the other things, as I really got, as a matter of fact, I mentioned this, that when it was Senator Kohl, K-O-H-L, that had sort of jumped on me there and tried to make me look silly by mocking the idea that anybody was doing weather control. But I referred him to Senator Claiborne Pell, who had been a senator for many, many years, had reached very high levels of the Senate and powerful positions in the Senate. And I simply referred Senator Cole to Claiborne Pell, who had, in fact, many years ago indicated and very specifically said that we had used weather modification to applied it in the Vietnam War. So back as far as the Vietnam War, we actually were using weather modification as a weapon of war, according to Senator Claiborne Pell's own presentation and writings and stories that he had put together himself while he was in the Senate and speaking before the United Nations. Additionally, to my surprise, as I got into trying to generate as much real proof and evidence, documentation on this, I found that way back in the 80s, 86, 87, in that period of time, that there was a pre-printed form of the United States National Ocean and Atmospheric Commission that you would fill out when you were going to go out and experiment on weather modification. And the form was called the Initial Report on Weather Modification Activity. And the one that I had had and located was a specific operation done in July of 1986 down in San Pedro, California. And it was, in fact, modifying and attempting to create rain by use of electronics. So, again, that literally was a pre-printed form that Uncle Sam had people fill out.
Now, in the past, they'd always use cloud seeding, things of that sort, and now they're going to precipitate rain, I suppose, and even snow by electronics?
Right, and what it is, actually, and now it's kind of an overlap a little bit, and I believe what we'll find, or that I'm positive at this point, according to Dr. Eastland, who had those original patents on the electronic weather control, is that you, in certain areas, if you want to really concentrate a superheating by utilizing a microwave or a plasma-type beam of radiating into a given area, that if you suspend in the clouds, or not the clouds, but if you actually just suspend in the air a easily floating lightweight material, and you can penetrate there, mix that with some magnetic fibers and things of that sort, that obviously would be used as a central target to superheat the atmosphere. It would be easier, quoting Dr. Eastman himself, and that is that it would be easier to superheat the ionosphere of the atmosphere if you had sort of a floating a fabric floating in the air.
Well, does this have anything to do then with what we're talking about today, this geoengineering, where they are actually setting up this mantle or this cap of aluminum and barium and strontium and these other things, at least certainly Roslyn Peterson has found government documents suggesting the Air Force has done this on the East Coast, and the British have admitted to doing this over England and other parts of the world. Do you think that they're using these particulate matter then, of course, to facilitate the heating of the stratosphere and atmosphere?
Yes, and what they're doing, and I believe that it's as a matter of fact, the Chinese are doing it with sending that material up with rockets, actually small rockets or a rocket type of a missile that would commonly appear to be like a regular explosive rocket, but it's not, and it goes up. They shoot it up and then spread out sort of a cobweb type material. It's a polymer material, and it's penetrated with certain chemicals, and some of it's actually metallic fibers and what have you, and magnetized fibers. Then if you shoot that up, and matter of fact, this is probably some of the stuff that's being sprayed out of aircraft at this time. That people are worried about, that they're seeing in the atmosphere. That type of a polymer material being dispersed either out of an aircraft or out of, the Chinese utilizing low-level rocketry, and then when they explode the fibrous material, then you can bombard it with the plasma or microwave beams, and it will superheat that material, and then, of course, atmosphere immediately within that area becomes superheated. It gives you somewhat of a hard target if you were going to do a triangulation of plasma beams. Now, the Chinese, as I mentioned, the Chinese, what had taken place there is that the Russians several years ago, being assisting or working side by side with the United States, they created their own company a few years back in Russia was called Elate, E-L-A-T-E. That company was their weather control, experimental, and military weather manipulation company, or commission, if you will. They did the best they could. They actually developed it pretty well, but they were running out of funds to do an awful lot of things. They can't even feed their people. And what had happened was that the Russians had sold the technology to the Chinese a few years back. And the Chinese now, which is very much is kind of shocking, the Chinese and their weather control operation, they employ 32,000 employees in China to handle their weather. Bob, some of them are as low a level as farmers doing assistance with the low, what I call the aircraft rocketry launchers, and they're loaded with cloud seeding compounds that we were just talking about.
Well, Bob, do you think that because they have all this particulate matter up there in the atmosphere, that appears to when the planes fly over and to put out their contrails, and instead of course them being there and just simply dissolving within a relatively few minutes, and certainly you have this hot air coming out, you have a lot of liquid in this, and of course it gets into the cold atmosphere and then immediately condenses. But do you think the presence of the aluminum particles up there would keep this then from dissolving in just a few minutes, as the contrails ordinarily do, and would allow them then to be persistent and then cloud over the whole sky? Is this the reason we're seeing so many cloudy skies today, do you think?
Well, yeah, I would think that's certainly a possibility. Because step one, of course, is to put this particulate matter in the air, whether they put it up by using rockets, little missile rocket type things like the Chinese is doing quite a bit with, or if it's being put out as a chemtrail sprayed out by a specific, like a bug spraying kind of an operation, except at a very high level. The second step to that, of course, is the heating of it, and then the big point is that these combinations of chemicals that they're experimenting with will draw or attract humidity. And the when I got into studying this several years ago, and we explained it in detail in our Weather Control as a Weapon DVD, but when I got into studying it, I was overwhelmed at the amount of humidity that constantly is circling the Earth. Since I was not previously a student of weather, I was shocked to find out that the equivalent amount of humidity passing over a given area at any time, let's say in the tropical zone, is like almost the equivalent of the Amazon River in terms of total humidity volume. The volume of humidity going by any given area in the Gulf Stream, or excuse me, in the air stream running around the Earth and the equator, this tremendous volume, and all you need to do is cause it in either by temperature variations or what have you. If you cause it to stop or group up, all right, you can suspend it with for one reason or another to linger over an area. It doesn't take but a few minutes for a cloud to form, and then, of course, it becomes like grows upon itself. It's similar to a fire. Once the fire gets going and it draws more heat in, and then there's more fire, and then it has more rapid feeding of oxygen, et cetera. And the same thing takes place with humidity, and so all you have to do is find that zero into one given area that already maybe has a little bit of a high or a low pressure variance, and cause the temperature to radically change, and you will just draw water into an area. And you know, we have to remember something also, is a lot of times people say, well, it's good if they're going to be able to bring extra humidity and rain and what have you to areas that need it for the farmlands, for example. You can't argue that, but the problem is that if you, this given amount of moisture that's there, if you draw the bulk of it off and have it rain like crazy in one area, it means that someplace else is going to fall into a dry spell or a drought. So, again, it's that not a good idea to fool with the natural balance of the flow of the atmospheric humidity. And if we interrupt it on one side, someplace else they're not going to get the rain, and that, of course, is part of the application as a weapon. You know, and what was shocking to me, and I had made this statement back when I testified at one point in time about the fact that the ability to control the weather could turn into a weapon far worse than an atomic weapon, because you can destroy an economy, destroy towns, neighborhoods, farmlands, and crops, and all of that in an area, but there's no residue as in a nuclear. And when we saw just in the last 30 days what took place in the middle of the United States with 400 tornadoes, I mean, that's mind-boggling. But when we see it, the towns look like they had been hit by atomic bombs, and it's exactly what I had said several years ago before the Senate. It's like an atomic bomb, but with no ongoing residue. But it's going to cost billions and billions of our economy.
Certainly, when you talk about Joplin, Missouri, it's just unbelievable the devastation that we see there. And at least you don't have the radiation there, don't have the fires and the blast, but you see the ultimate effect of this massive expenditure of energy. Is this an act of God? Is it an act of government? It's all classified, ladies and gentlemen. It's all top secret, because we can't let the people understand what's really going on. Well, Bob, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I guess the biggest concern that we have to have.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-dry guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friends' interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. Many decades.
Brain. We have a four-tape set on chemtrails. We have a four-tape set on weather modification. We have a four-tape set on HAARP. We have a book on weather modification. We have a book on HAARP. They are all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, it's important you understand that there is a master agenda. It's called Agenda 21. It's published by the United Nations. You can get this from Radio Liberty. You can find it up on the Internet. It's available from Michael Shaw at freedomadvocates.org. But you want to get this and read it, because what it really calls for, this is the agenda for the 21st century, it calls for the destruction of industrialized society, to get you out of your car, to get you to quit using electricity, to actually get you to stop using natural resources, to stop using so much water. Why would anybody want to do that? Well, for the same reason, they want to eliminate most of the Earth's population. And you'll find this covered up in the other three or four legs of this whole story. The Global Biodiversity Assessment, which is summarized in our Sustainable Development Syllabus, a really must reading, because there you'll also get the Earth Charter and you'll get the Ten Commandments that come from the dark side, from the Georgia Guidestones. Now, three of the four things you need to get are in the Sustainable Development Syllabus. The fourth one, of course, is Agenda 21. There is a massive plan. 600 communities in the nation are ICLEA cities. They've actually joined ICLEA, a subversive organization. Their goal, to implement Agenda 21. To take away property rights, to get people into controlled cities. Why do you think they want to put in all these fast trains? Well, it's to get you out of your car. That's what it's all about. To get you to stop using fossil fuels. There is no problem with fossil fuel emissions creating global warming. We have global warming because it's a cycle. When we have a cycle, ordinarily, because it heats the ocean, CO2 comes certainly it no longer dissolved there. You need to get our material on ClimateGate. You need to get our material on smart meters. We have a book and a four-tape set, a four-CD set. The information is there. You need to understand it's all a scam. An awful lot of people are going to die from this scam, but they don't care. They have already killed several billion people. They are killing people today. They intend to kill off most of the world's population. If you doubt that, you need to get our talk on planned population reduction, Nundare College genocide, and population control. You need to get our population control agenda. You can get it on the Internet. It's probably the best thing up there. It needs to be updated. One of these days, I'll get it updated. You need to get our four tapes set on population control and understand they outlawed DDT so they could bring in other far more toxic pesticides and insecticides that will impact on you terribly. DDT was very effective. It actually was very effective in decreasing cancer. In fact, the people who worked in the plants where they made it had far less cancer. One reason they outlawed it. Why? Because they're doing everything they can to facilitate cancer. If you haven't seen the DVD, Cancer Forbidden Cures, that's Cancer Forbidden Cures, you need to get it. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. If you're in a position to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, we'd love to hear from you. Again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and protection.
Tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. It is 8 June 2011. Wednesday. Thank you for joining us. So glad to have you in the audience today, and thank you for inviting us into your home. We're going to be talking in this next hour about a subject that, well, it's kind of uncomfortable. But you know what? There are people